you doing out there? Good to see you today. Thanks for being with us. A lot of people away for Christmas and a lot of people visiting us. So if you're visiting us from another place, I know we've got some guys in from Australia this morning. Thank you for being here and all parts of the globe coming to sunny Wigan for Christmas. So thank you for being with us. So we are moving on this morning from not just Joy Story. I've enjoyed Joy Story. But today we are going to move on from Joy Story to Boy Story. Did you see what I just did right there? You're totally impressed, I can see. So we're going to look at what I've called my Christmas message. And I pray that you'll be blessed through this and enriched. And that you'll be encouraged. Come on. You've not even got your Christmas turkey in today. I want to hear some noise. Thank you. So here we go, boy's story. Because of the birth of a child, you can be who you never believed you could be. It's the truth. Because of the birth of a child, you can go where you never believed you would ever go. Because of the birth of a child, you can build. Did you hear me? You can build what you never believed you could ever build. Because of the birth of a child, you can change what you never believed you could change. All this is possible because of the birth of a child. The three gifts, anyone remember the three gifts? We have them for the sake of the podcast. Illustration of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can I just tell you that these are the originals? These are the actual ones that were in the manger with Jesus. And we are privileged to have them this morning in Wigan. The three gifts that the kings of Orient delivered to Jesus on that day foretell the majestic story, or the majestic boy story, of Jesus and his incarnation. Let me tell you and let me share with you the gold. Everyone say the gold. The gold represents the kingship of Jesus. For this baby would not become king, but was indeed born king. When the Magi turned up at Herod's palace looking for this child, they said the words like this: "Where is this newborn king?" And the frankincense, as we have represented here today, was just a symbol for this baby would become who he would become. It was a symbol of his priestly role, the role of Jesus, and a life of servitude. And the myrrh. Everyone say in Wigan, myrrh. You can get away with that in Wigan, because if it was mayor, you'd all say myrrh anyway. The myrrh, but it is myrrh. And the myrrh is seen as the prefiguring, or indeed the representation beforehand, of the embalming perfume used at his burial. This servant king that was actually born to die. So how does that play out? We hear the story every Christmas and we read about the gifts, and maybe some of you even may have understood the meaning of these gifts. But how does that play out? What did this incarnation, what did this coming of the baby Jesus, what did this incarnation really mean for us? What did it mean to anyone who will come to Christ? What did that mean for us? And very simply today, I want to refer to three verses, key verses, and there are so many others, but I've picked three key verses this morning of what the incarnation of this child, what it meant for this baby to come, not only what it meant then, but what it means for us now. Firstly, I'd like to say that it meant Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, reading from the NLT, it'll be on a screen behind you right now, and it reads like this. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He's that role of servitude. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. When I read that, you know, we can speak about the service of Christ and the fact that we need to be servants, and there's so many things that we could pick up on this morning, but the word that really kept coming back to me as I read this scripture over and over was this word ransom. Everyone say ransom. And he became, as it says in scripture, the reason that he came so that he could be ransom for many. I don't know if you kind of thought too much about what ransom mean, then I just want to bring it to you in its simplicity this morning to remind you of something. The word ransom means this: to redeem from captivity. How many feel redeemed from captivity this morning? To be freed from bondage. To come out of the detention by paying a demanded price. That's what a ransom is. And this is what Jesus did for us, right? That when he came down, not just as a babe, but as he grew, he became a ransom for many. And we rejoice, not just because it's Christmas, but we rejoice because we have been ransomed by the King. This is the boy story. That he became our exchange. Have you ever thought about it in that way? That he paid the demanded price for our freedom. And so as we look at each other this morning, and if we were to look at each other's lives, I wonder what our lives would say. I wonder what would be written over our lives. Because if you are a Jesus follower this morning, and if you're not, you can be, then I kind of think that, never mind each other, we may put all kinds of labels on our heads this morning. We put our own label on our own heads, isn't that right? Of what we think about ourselves, about what we are, about what we're not. But I wonder if Jesus were here this morning and he was to walk around this crowd of people, I wonder what kind of banner, I wonder what thing he'd write over your head. I wonder if he'd be singing over you. I wonder if he'd be cheering you. You know, I believe he would. He would be doing all kinds of things that you may not believe that he would do. And written over your life, I don't believe there would be such a sign as riddled with debt. How many remember? Ransom is something that we're exchanged from, brought from, that has been paid for with an incredible price. I don't think that he would go around and he'd say, hey, do you know what? Your life is just crippled with the debt of sin, of things in your life that are taking you downhill. I don't believe that God would say those things. I don't believe that as he walked round, he would see this weight of bankruptcy in our lives that sometimes we see about ourselves. No, I think that if he was here today, he would walk round and he would look at you. And as you look down, because you may be afraid about what he knew about you, he would say, paid in full. Paid in full. And I want you to see that about yourself this morning. Paid in full. I've never really thought about it about that way. You know, I've never really seen that that's what Jesus did for me, that sometimes I can be carrying this weight. And there is a sign over your head that this morning says, paid in full. That this debt that we carried was written off by the generosity of his grace. Come on. It was written off by his grace. And so I had this thought that struck me. If that is the case, and we come into the revelation, the realization that it's all paid, you know, that there's nothing else to pay, that Jesus did it all, the very thing that we could never do, he did it all. He ransomed us. The thought struck me. So why do we sometimes live like we're trying to pay it back? Why do we live like that? Or live like we're paying off this massive debt towards Jesus. You know, I made it on another Sunday. That'll pay a bit of the debt off. Thank you, Jesus, I've made it one more time. You know, last week I read an extra chapter of the Bible. I can see the bill coming down. All the stuff that you did for me, Jesus, I'm trying my best to pay back in who I am, and I struggle so much. You know, last Sunday I came and I put a few more quid in the offering than I would normally do. Thought that would bring the bill down just a little bit more. And that good deed that I did at work, that'll certainly bring the debt down somewhat. And sometimes it's true that we live with a weight of spiritual debt that was never ours to carry. And never could we ever pay it off, no matter what we do. It was paid by his gracious Jesus. The generosity of his grace. Helen and I were out for a meal, as is our habit of having our date night, and this is a couple of months ago, and we went to this restaurant, and quite a nice restaurant, and we sat in there and looking at the menu, and so much stuff on the menu. And wherever I go, I have fish and chips, right? It's like really nice menu, Italian menu, you know, there's different, from different countries, all this stuff. And I said, you know what, I've come to this nice restaurant tonight. I think I might have something different. Well, after falling off the chair and picking herself up off the chair, off the floor, she's looking and I said, what are you thinking? Because we kind of, it's one of those where we look at it and say, what are you thinking? And if I fancy what she's having, then I don't want food jealousy, so I'm going to have what she's having. So I said, what are you thinking of? She says, well, that prawn linguine looks really tasty. I think she'd seen it on other tables, because that's what we do. Do you never do that? Like, have a look on another table and say, oh, that looks nice. Excuse me, love, what's that you're eating? They're out for a romantic meal. And so we had a look, and I saw the prawn linguine, and I'm thinking, oh, do you know, I think I fancy that. And Helen looks like she's going to have it. So eventually she put the menu down, and I put the menu down. She said, what are you having? I said, fish and chips. I said, fish and chips and mushy peas, my life is complete. It is complete. With a pint of Guinness. Only, of course, for medicinal purposes. And so the food came and we ate the food, really enjoyed it. And right at the end, we were kind of ready for paying the bill. You know, they're ready to turn the lights out. We thought we'd better go home at some point. So the owner of the restaurant came to the table. Thought, the owner's come to the table. So it was like, we're ready to pay the bill. And she said to Helen and I, she said, well, I'd like to be able to give you the bill, she said, but someone's already paid it. And I thought, nah, that's not happened. You know when you're like, you know you've bought something, you know, you've got to pay for it. It's like you're in debt and you think, I've got a responsibility towards it. I have a fish chips and tartar sauce. Someone's got to pay for this. And she kept saying, no, someone's paid for it. Someone's paid for it. And eventually it got into my skull, someone's paid for it. But I kind of walked out of the restaurant that night like it was hard work. Do you know, it's like, let's do a runner. Have you ever done that when you've been, it's like, let's pretend we're going to do a runner and not pay the bill? We've never done it. yet. But that's what it was like. And it was so hard getting in the car, knowing that we'd not got a credit card out, not got any cash out of Helen's purse, that we actually went home, the bill was paid, and we didn't pay it. It was so hard. Why is it that we feel so much that we have to pay? It's true. We feel we've had this. We have to pay for what we've had. Let me say these words to you before we move on quickly this morning. Don't live indebted to Jesus. Live in gratitude towards Jesus. It's very, very different. It's just different. Some of us live like we're so indebted to Him, and we work hard, and we strive further, and we do more, and we make ourselves sick because we're trying to pay off this debt that we could never, ever pay. But thank God, Jesus telephoned the restaurant and said, "The bill's paid, it's paid in full." That's what Jesus did, and that's what He's like, and that's what He can do for you. All this because of the birth of a child. And so a question that we could ask maybe on this before I move to my next point would be a simple question for us to ask and maybe for you to ponder on over the day, next day or two. We could ask this. So what do I need to exchange, or what do I need to let go of that has already been paid for in my life? Because you know what? I guarantee there's lots of stuff we're trying to pay back that Jesus says He's paid in full. Just different parts of our life that we feel we've got to attain and we've got to be and we've got to do. Not just to impress God, but to pay Him back. God says it's paid in full. So what is the thing that you need to exchange or to let go of? And so what does Christ's incarnation, what does the birth, what in this boy's story, what does this birth mean to us today? The second verse that I picked is found in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, taken from the Message Bible. It simply says this: "For the Son of Man," this is Jesus, speaking about Jesus, "for the Son of Man came." Everyone said He came. Thank God He came. The incarnation of Jesus, He came. "For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." Very simple point that I want to make here this morning is that God is drawn to lostness. That there is something about lostness that I think God hates so much. He's trying to find everybody. Trying to go around and put everybody right and be who He needs to be to them. And so He's drawn, He is, by His deity, He's drawn to the people that He created. I want to say that He sees your lostness this morning, right across this hall, right across this arena. He sees your lostness, whatever kind of lostness that is. You know, we can be lost in different things. There was a man in the Bible and his name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was lost in his own success. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe a successful person, maybe successful in life, but you are lost in your own success. Jesus is wanting to take away that lostness. Lostness comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Maybe this morning you are lost in your understanding. Or maybe lost in your circumstances. So often we can get lost in the stuff that happens to us. The good, the bad, and the downright ugly sometimes. We can get lost in circumstances. Sometimes we can get lost in our purposefulness. Sometimes we get lost, totally lost in our thinking. And some of us are just lost in life. And you may fit one of those this morning. And for me, as I read this scripture, the standout verse very clearly was restore. Everyone say restore. Restore. Clearly, God was our ransom. Jesus, From the child became our ransom for many, but he also came to find you, and he came to restore you. You know, God is the restorer of all things. He's not wanting to destroy stuff. He's not against you this morning. He wants to restore you. He is the restorer of all things. And so the standout word for me was restore. Let me tell you that Jesus not only wants to dispel our lostness, but he actually wants to restore your life. And I suppose the question that we could ask on this point this morning will be simply this: what needs restoring in my life in this season? Just some things to reflect on this morning. What needs restoration in my life? What needs to be restored? What have I lost? Maybe in relationships, maybe in my relationship with God, maybe in relationship with the Church of Jesus Christ. Maybe you fell out with her. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something that you can't tell anybody else, but God wants to bring restoration in your life. God is the restorer of all things. And so what needs restoring in your life in this season? Maybe hope. Maybe you lost hope somewhere. You need to say, God, would you restore hope? Maybe trust. How many know this is a big one? Sometimes we just need trust to be restored. Maybe the thing that you need to be restored in your life is the belief about something. Maybe you started to believe something different, and maybe that took you down a path of despair. Maybe you need to turn around and say, God, would you restore my belief in this thing? Would you restore my belief in this purpose that I once had? Would you restore my belief in who you really are? Would you bring restoration? God, would you restore my faith? Would you help me to step out one more time? Just bring something, Lord, that helps me in my faith. And your word says, Lord, that you restore my soul. Maybe that's what it is for you this morning. But all of this was made possible because of the birth of a child. As I round this off this morning, I want to bring a third scripture. And like I've said, there's so many of what Jesus came to do and who he was and what he did and what he accomplished. And I would say, because of a child, it meant this. The third thing it meant was John chapter 10, verse 10. Does anybody know this scripture? John 10, 10, reading from the New International Version, which says this: the thief does not come except to steal. Can we understand this? Just on the reverse side of before I get on to Jesus, that the only reason a thief turns up is because he or she is looking to steal something. This is the way that we speak about the enemy of God, the enemy of your soul. The only reason that he comes with the same old tricks of making you doubt, making you disbelieve, and making you go down a path that you don't really want to go down is because he wants to rob you. He wants to be a thief. He doesn't know anything else than to be a thief. Or he wants to kill you. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. Another version says that you might have life to the full. I want to tell you that his incarnation means life. Everyone say life. It means life and it means release. Everyone say release. So here's this baby that was born, that grew up, that died on behalf of us. He took the place of us. And he took upon himself everything that we carried. All our lostness he carried to the cross. And he became a ransom. He paid the full price so that you could be freed. He was a ransom to us. And then he works on this whole thing of restoration. And he wants to bring restoration. You know, there's some of you who've been here and been coming here for many, many years. There's some things that God wants to restore to you. I believe this isn't just for new people. We're so glad that you came this morning, and this is for you. But you know, if we've been here 5 minutes or 50 years, God wants to restore some things in your life. It's restoration. This is because of the birth of a child. I say, when it comes to John 10:10, he's speaking here about release. So here's the deal. He wants to ransom us in order to restore us so that he might release us into abundant life. Everyone say abundant. You know, sometimes it doesn't feel like that. This is why Jesus came. You know, maybe there's some stuff in our thinking. Maybe there's some stuff in our actions. Maybe there's some stuff in our belief that we need to adjust. Maybe some belief in some stuff needs to be restored so that we can believe that Jesus came, that we might have abundant life and all that goes with it. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I say it like this. That Jesus came down from on high. He came down from his level to come down to our level so that he could take us to his level. That is his work, and that's who he is. The New Living Translation, same verse, says this: he came to give us a rich and satisfying life. And so the question, as we've had a question with each of these points, a question would be that we could ask at this time, what needs a life-giving release at this time? What needs a release of Jesus? What needs the touch of Jesus in my life or in this situation at this time? My guess, and I'm sure it would be pretty accurate, that my guess is that the gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, that these gifts that were given to this boy child were used. They weren't just placed on a shelf. They weren't just looked at, but they were used. And I want to tell you this, that one thing is certain, the story that they foretold of this birth of a Savior rolled out. It didn't stay in the manger. It was used. The story was rolled out, and the power of its reality still touches us today. All because of the birth of a child.